This is Home and Yours, a consumer affairs segment where we sometimes look behind property headlines. I'm Howie Lim, and today we look at international schools, how a mid-priced new entrant into the market is going to stack up. Now, a new international school charging lower fees has opened to cater to demand from expatriates looking for cheaper options. One World International School started a new Nanyang campus at Jurong West for students aged 3 to 18. Now, the initial investment, $10 million into the campus. They hope to take in 1,200 students. Right now, it's 300 enrolled, and 500 have picked up applications and crossed their fingers and hope to get in. Now, the school fees from kindergarten to primary school students will be from about $17,000 a year, won't exceed $20,000, and that's 40% cheaper than the average fees at top-end international schools here. So we're happy to have Kaushtub Bondhaka, who is Deputy Chief Executive Officer at Global Schools Foundation and Global Indian International Schools, the brain children behind One World International Schools. Thanks for joining us today, Kaushtub.
Hi, very good morning.
So obviously, everyone's excited about how it's mid-priced and it's 40% cheaper than most international schools here. Tell us how people have reacted to this lower fees.
I think the initial reaction from everybody was, how is this possible? Are we going to get the same quality? Are you going to kind of cut some corners? Is the infrastructure going to be adequate? Are you sure you will be able to kind of deliver the right curriculum? I think those were the initial reactions, and they were absolutely obvious, because perhaps for the very first time, this is the moderate fee, full-fledged international school starting in Singapore with fees, as you said, 40% lower than other international schools. So we were aware of these reactions, and naturally our team gave them a very thorough presentation in terms of how we are going to use technology, how we are going to make sure that learning outcomes are met consistently, how we are going to have the right talent mix. And fortunate, we were able to get the right talent very much from Singapore. So that's how we were able to kind of make this particular school a great moderate fee point, highly successful. And we've started about 4 weeks back. All our students and parents are extremely happy in terms of the infrastructure that we are providing, some of the learning opportunities that we've kind of given to those parents. So, yes, it's a great start for the school.
Let's step back a wee bit. You beat out 12 other bidders to win this tender by the Economic Development Board. Four school operators interested in providing a more affordable foreign school system education. How was the process from winning the bid to getting here? Hair pulling for you and your team?
I think absolutely. The time was really short. It was a great tender. And I think the focus of this tender for the first time was on both price and quality. So naturally, we are very happy that we were able to kind of put up a very strong, high quality bid, which EDB found acceptable, and they essentially awarded the tender. We had roughly about 4 months to prepare. It's a massive land that we got. The total land parcel is about 3.2 hectares. Total built-up area is over 200,000 square feet. We essentially kind of literally make sure that the infrastructure meets our education criteria, meets the policies that we would want to kind of implement. So it was a great going. But I think it was an amazing thing to kind of really create some of the learning experiences for our students. So we kind of focus both the indoor as well as the outdoor learning. And you won't believe, because of the land parcel which was available to us, so not only we have a farm and a garden, but we've also created a miniature rainforest. That's the kind of learning experience that we would want to kind of give to our young children.
And the purpose of these different areas?
I think it's all based on our philosophy of collaboration, of learning through experiences and trying hands-on learning. That's what we think fuels creativity. That's when we are going to kind of really create the entrepreneurs of future. Those children who are extremely confident about technology, because they kind of spend a whole lot of amount of time on their smartphones, iPads, but at the same time have the feeling of real life experiences. So that's how we are going to kind of marry the technology part inside the classroom as well as the real life experiences based on hands-on doing outside the classrooms.
I'm excited for students, but I'm wondering about maintenance for you guys too. That's an added cost, I think, having a rainforest, having farms and the great premises and the hectares and hectares of land.
Absolutely. But at the same time, in Singapore, we're fortunate. We've kind of got great facility management teams here, which are international companies. They are kind of helping us to do the maintenance. At the same time, the kind of discipline that we inculcate amongst our students, essentially kind of helping them to get the experiences through kind of giving back to the community, essentially kind of also spending some time to kind of maintain their own rainforests and gardens. So that's an added advantage that the children enjoy.
You are an old hand at this, setting up schools and all that, at the Global Indian International Schools, your deputy CEO as well. So what was challenging and unique about this particular school in terms of setup?
I think the single largest challenge was that how do we ensure a moderate fee point and yet not compromise on the quality? So we had to kind of really think through in terms of how are we going to manage that. And some of the elements which kind of came in is our technology-enabled learning suite. I'll give you an example. Instead of kind of going and buying off-the-shelf technology, which we kind of see in some of the other international schools, we actually looked at our focus, our model of our curriculum, which is essentially based on 4 C's. And 2 C's of that are communication and collaboration. So what we did that, we essentially kind of created an Apple environment in our classrooms. So there are 2 large 65-inch digital displays. Through AirPlay, we kind of connect the iPad, which is with each and every child. That's great. But the important part is that we really collaborate peer-to-peer learning. So a child is able to kind of share his outcome on his iPad immediately in real-time basis with the entire classroom of 23 other children. He can kind of immediately throw what he's kind of doing, any problem which he's solving. He can put it on the digital display and he's able to kind of share with the rest of the children. And that peer-to-peer learning has really helped us because it A, kind of saves on the teacher resource because essentially the teacher is really the facilitator and it's the children which are kind of learning from each other. So those are the elements that we've kind of really incorporated through our transdisciplinary unit of inquiry program. So that helps us to kind of optimize our costs. And then we kind of used, again, technology to a large extent to literally automate a lot of processes, essentially those processes which do not add any value towards the student learning outcomes have been automated by us.
For example?
So example, all the activities that the teachers do outside the classroom are fully automated. As an example.
Marking of tests.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So all the tests are literally online, which kind of students take on their iPad and teacher doesn't have to kind of go back home and then correct them manually. She automatically kind of gets those results and she is able to kind of continuously track the performance of the children, which are the students which are much brighter in the classroom. So a very specific plan could be developed for them, as well as the students which are potentially lacking, what kind of additional support could be kind of given to them. So those are the elements of technology that we've kind of used to reduce or to optimize our costs.
Attendance taking?
All online.
So automation was a big thing to help you keep costs down. Things have started off already. How are the kids doing? 300 of them have already started at the beginning of January.
I think the first test for us is that to what extent the children are happy. And I'm very happy to
tell. How are you going to tell?
I think when they kind of come in, it's kind of very much from their face. Are they smiling as they kind of walk in? How happy they are? And essentially, we actually also have a mechanism to measure the happiness, what we kind of call as the happiness index. Essentially, it kind of depends on multiple parameters. One of them is the attendance. So do children really like or enjoy to kind of go to school? Are we kind of getting 100% attendance in class after class? Do they really enjoy the activities that the teachers are asking them to do, like the assignments? These are some of the aspects that we kind of then measure and essentially
That's
kind
tough,
of come
though.
Up
with. It's a little subjective.
Absolutely true. Happiness is always subjective.
Yeah. When are you going to be able to tell, though? So this kind of information will take a bit of time to glean.
So I think essentially the end of the current academic year, that's when we'll kind of have the initial results. We essentially kind of do the International Schools Assessment, ISA, which is essentially a standardized test which is being done across different international schools, not only in Singapore, but across the region. So that is something which our children will take. And essentially, we would want to kind of look at those outputs as the standardized tests and see the performances that we have done. Maybe I'll also kind of share one more thing in terms of how really technology is kind of helping us. So at the global schools, we kind of essentially run a large chain of schools in different countries for the last 15, 16 years. So we've essentially kind of really created big data. We then use data analytics tools such as multiple regression to kind of really predict the performance of a child. So looking at the historical trends that we've seen, looking at the child's performance, we are able through this particular module to kind of predict what kind of
output. Extrapolate some
exactly.
results. Okay.
Exactly. And that really allows the teachers to kind of prepare a very specific learning plan, what we call as individual learning plan for a very specific child. So that's something which we are able to kind of use and monitor the learning outcomes as what we call as the lead indicators. Because exam or an assessment will kind of only happen at a particular time. But over that particular period, you are able to kind of look at the performance of the child. you are able to kind of monitor the performance of the child and then support or encourage the child.
The implementation of all of these technologies is helping to keep your initial capital outlay small. In the future, though, as you progress, how are you going to keep the lights on over there? Your fees are lower than other international schools. Now that it's all set up, it still will take a certain amount, obviously, to maintain and keep running.
So I think the focus was to kind of use technology to control the operating costs, because initial capex investment over a period of time, we'll be able to kind of recoup. But the real challenge for us is that how do we ensure that it's a sustainable education institution which is going to kind of last along at the revenue streams that we are going to collect in the form of fee point. So how do we make sure that the dollar, we kind of get the maximum value? And I think we are able to do that at multiple levels. Being a platform school, being part of Global Schools Foundation, we have economies of scale, and they do results. So, for example, we have shared services for OWIS, which reduces our costs, such as for recruitment, for procurement. This is where we are able to use our economies of scale. So, when we kind of buy at the platform level across our schools, OWIS automatically kind of gets that benefit.
Do you think then the other international schools are just overcharging maybe? Technology has helped you. You've got a great looking campus. Students have come on board already. What do you reckon, in your opinion?
I think this is going to be the future. I'm sure more and more moderate fee point schools will start in Singapore, because at OWIS, I'm sure we'll be able to kind of demonstrate that a model can run, and we encourage competition. Because I think there was the historical baggage, as you kind of see in Singapore. Over the years, the expatriate packages have essentially shrunk, especially on the education part. And if you've got two children, then essentially you are kind of looking at north of $80,000. And I think that's a year. And that's where the challenge is going to come. Because as Singapore tries to attract more and more talent into Singapore, perhaps this was becoming a potential bottleneck in terms of people choosing for Singapore. It's great facilities, world-class infrastructure, but perhaps the education was a bit pricey. So we think with OWIS, we'll also be able to kind of contribute to Singapore's further growth in that moderate fee point segment. So I'm sure that's how the schools, the international schools in Singapore are going to evolve.
This isn't your first step into Singapore. I mean, you did open a global Indian school here as well. This was sometime in the early 2000s, I believe. What's next up for you guys after OWIS?
So I think we essentially are in Singapore as well as outside Singapore. Currently, we are in 6 countries. I think it's perhaps very few of Singapore-born and bred education institution which is kind of internationalized. So currently, outside of Singapore, we have 17 campuses in 6 different countries. So we would want to kind of grow our operations very much in that field. So we are present in Malaysia, we are present in Japan. In fact, we started our 2nd campus in Japan. So the only Singapore education institution which currently has that kind of presence in Japan. So that's the opportunity that we kind of see overseas in some of the markets where we could kind of grow.
Thanks for coming today, Kaushtu Bondhaka, who is the Deputy Chief Executive Officer of Global Schools Foundation and Global Indian International Schools. Their new One World International School just started January 8th, I believe, at Jurong West for kids aged 3 to 18. It's sort of a mid-priced international school. Think about it, 40% cheaper. And the campus is looking great. The kids are happy, as far as we know.
Right? Absolutely.
There's also a rainforest they can traipse through. There's a farm they can learn about livestock. And owis.org is where you can find them. Thanks, Kaushtu, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.